DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops at DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Jonathan DeBurka Butler joins us once again to bring some stories from other parts of the world. Jonathan,
Sean, how are you getting on?
Good afternoon to you. Right, Taiwan and China have reached a deal. Is that overstating the case?
Well, it's a deal over one little mini conflict.
Yes,
I wouldn't say that the whole thing is over.
Yes.
So we can settle down there a little bit. But it might be a step in the right direction. So as you know, China and Taiwan, they don't get along very well with each other. And there's all sorts of diplomatic spats, and everything and anything can become a problem. And this is a genuine problem. February of this year, there was a case where four Chinese fishermen had gone into the waters that are patrolled and owned, inverted commas, by Taiwan, right? And they were chased out of it. And when they were caught, they basically refused to be arrested, right? Mm. And they ran away, if that's what you do in a boat, and the boat capsized, and they all fell in and two of them drowned and died, right? And obviously the Chinese were very upset about this. And so they were looking for some sort of compensation to be given to the families, and they wanted a full investigation. So negotiations have been going on ever since then to come up with some sort of a deal that would see both sides happy and to sort of keep the tensions down.
Okay.
Now, what's interesting about this is, first of all, I should mention the geography of this, right? So when you think of China and Taiwan, you think of the mainland China and you think of the big Taiwan island. But there's lots of little islands that are very close to China that are actually owned by Taiwan.
Okay,
this particular, where this happened was near an island called Kinken, which is literally only 10 kilometers away from the Chinese mainland.
Mm.
So you can understand why Chinese fishermen would be going into this area and fishing.
Yes.
And traditionally, they had always taken a relatively lenient view of them. But in recent years, because of the tensions, the Taiwanese Coast Guard has been ramping up their patrols there, and they haven't, right? So you might forgive the Chinese fishermen for going into the waters in a way because it's so close to their area, if you allow it. So anyway, in the end, the deal was struck. The family are going to get compensation for the two men. The bodies will be repatriated, and that's the end of it. Now, whether it's a step in the right direction or if we can take some hope from that, I don't know. But that's this particular situation that's been resolved.
Right, okay, yeah. And so this is ongoing, the tension with, you know...
With the fishing boats.
With the fishing boats, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And perilously close to the coast of China.
Yeah, I think that element about the geography is very important to mention, because it just paints a completely different picture of how tense the situation is between them. You know, the distance, as I said, between the mainland and the main island is huge, is significant.
Yeah.
But when you consider these little islands close to the coast of China that are owned by Taiwan, you can see how the tensions are something
can
could
be
spark off
trigger.
Very quickly.
And so has Taiwan apologised?
Yes,
for the
they have as well, which is probably another big thing. They have apologised to the families for what happened.
Yeah,
But they're not critically launching an investigation into it.
Right, okay, but it's probably pretty clear what happened. Venezuela we're going to go to next. And as predicted by you, no one won the election, or both sides did.
Yeah, well, they're both claiming victory, as many people predicted. So Maduro officially, according to the National Electoral Council, has won the election, right? So he got 51% of the vote, compared to 44% for his main rival, a man by the name of Edmundo González, who was a unity candidate for the opposition, which had come together to basically get rid of Maduro, right? Mm. Now, who's saying what? So we'll go with the opposition. So the opposition are saying that they had won 70% of the votes, and they got those from tallies and various different exit polls and other quick counts that they had got, where they were allowed to go to the count centres and look at the votes, basically, and count them. Right now,
okay,
it's an electronic system that they have in Venezuela.
Oh.
But what they do is that when you make your vote, that vote goes into the National Electoral Council electronically, but you get a receipt and that goes into a ballot box. So that's how the tallies are able to be counted, right? And they're saying that their success, the opposition are saying that they won about 70% of the vote, so it was a thumping victory for them. Of course, Maduro is saying, not at all, here's the opposition again, US conspiracy, the usual tropes that he puts out, and, you know, we believe in our fair and free electoral system. And so we've won and we're going to accept it. So this is going to be now his third term. If it doesn't all kick off, and this was always going to be the problem. So the opposition on Monday when the results started coming out said, called for calm, but of course there was never going to be calm, right? And just before I came in, I was looking at the situation. There's been protests, over 100 protests recorded in 20 out of 23 states in the country, right? Two people are dead so far. The police are out. Opposition rallies have obviously been out and about, and also those supporting Maduro are now going to go out and counter protest. So you can expect, I don't know what's going to happen, obviously, but you can expect quite significant news coming out of Venezuela over the next couple of days, and it's probably not going to be good.
The National Electoral Council, am I incorrect in this? I read when they first made this announcement that it was all a bit quick.
Yeah. Actually, it was slow and then quick. If you know what I mean. So and also the head of the National Electoral Council, Elvis Amoroso, I think his name is. He's a good friend of Maduro.
Right.
So he has all of these offices sewn up, like the Supreme Court and National Electoral Council and all of these kind of things.
Yeah.
So Edmundo González was really never going to win unless he was going to win big. And it seems even if he has won big, Maduro is not going to let up.
He's going to let him anyway. In previous elections, has there been this much controversy over the results?
Well, all the previous two elections have always been proclaimed unfair.
Right. Okay.
Over the years, so and there's always been protests. This isn't new. I think the only hope here was that, again, the opposition thought that they were going to have such a resounding victory.
You couldn't fiddle it.
Exactly. You couldn't dispute it, but they're saying that it has been.
Mm. Right. Papua New Guinea, we're going to go to next. 26 people have been killed in attacks.
Yeah. So these are violent attacks that took place on three remote villages last week. It happened in the north of the country. And as you said, 26 people have been killed. That's the amount of people so far. So there's people missing. It's rather gruesome. So some of them were killed near a river, and it's believed that some of the bodies might have been taken by crocodiles and dragged into rivers. So people are missing and they may never have been found. The people that we know are missing include 16 children. And it's a very sad story, obviously, but it's a very simple story. This is something that happens regularly enough, too regularly, let's say, in Papua New Guinea, where you have various different tribes vying for land rights, vying for access to water and lakes and that kind of thing. And they just argue, and they take those arguments far too far. And so what they're noticing now in the last 10 years or so, that instead of, you know, fighting with their fists and sticks and literally bows and arrows, is that people are coming in now and selling them arms, so machine guns and the like. And so that is ramping up the numbers that are dying. And so,
and the tension, attacks,
exactly,
and all the rest of it.
The tensions are escalating. So it's. I'd like to say it's rare, but I mean, I think this is the third significant attack like this year in the country, and you know, it's definitely a major problem.
Yeah, and because these are relatively remote areas, I assume they're not policed that well.
They're not policed as well as they should be.
Yeah, definitely.
And they find it hard to recruit policemen to come into the area, obviously.
Yeah.
A lot of them would be easy to buy off as well.
Right, Australia we're going to go to next. And a mother's been sent to jail there for forcing her daughter into a marriage that, let's say, didn't end well, to put it mildly.
Yeah, so this is a woman in her late 40s by the name of Sakina Jan. She was a refugee from Afghanistan. And she moved with her five children in 2013, I believe. So she's been there, 10 or 11 years. And she forced her 21-year-old daughter to marry a man that was 5 years her senior and a man that she didn't want to marry. Right.
Yeah.
So this woman, the woman who died, had been married before, apparently. She was married off when she was 15, and she'd been married for 2 years. That particular marriage didn't last, And she said, according to the judge, that she didn't want to get married until she was at least in her late 20s. She wanted to go to college. She wanted to get a job, that kind of thing. And she had no interest in it. But her mother forced her into this marriage. And within 6 weeks of the marriage, the daughter was dead. So the husband had beat her to death. Now he's in prison serving a life sentence. There was legislation brought in the same year that she moved from Afghanistan, actually in 2013, banning forced marriages, right? Mm. And you can go to jail for up to 7 years if you force someone to get married. And this mother is the first person to be jailed under this marriage law. So it's taken 11 years for it to happen.
Cranky.
Now, there are, are other cases pending, but she's the first one to go to jail. So she's been sentenced to 3 years in prison. I suppose it will act as a deterrent, but it seems to be a bit of a problem in Australia.
And the fact that her daughter was murdered as a result, does that add, or is the charge just forcing someone into a marriage?
That's interesting. I can't answer that, but what I imagine is that, you know, your man is in jail for life for the murder. Yeah. She's just going to prison for the forced marriage.
Yeah.
But it's a great question.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. You know, she pleaded not guilty all the way through, so.
Right, France we're going to next. And this is something we're seeing many parts of the world. They've introduced a tourist quota in what part of France?
Yeah, so this is the north coast of Brittany, okay? Mm. It's an island called Île de Bruyères. I've never been there I hadn't really heard of it until last week, to be honest with you. It has approximately 400 residents on it, right? And it takes you 10 minutes to get there from the mainland by boat. But it's overrun. And the town council has now decided that between 8:30 a.m. and 2:30 p.m., the number of visitors coming on those boats must not exceed 4,700, right? He's saying that basically people can't go into restaurants, the locals can't live their lives, rental bike schemes and all that kind of thing. It's overwhelmed. And he said that they did a trial last summer. And the reason they did the trial was because there was a report and the people who were visiting the island said that 30% of them said that they didn't have a good time there. So they said, OK, we've got to do something about this. So this is what they brought in. But it's interesting that you mentioned it's not the first time we've spoken about something like this, because, of course, do you remember the picture a couple of weeks ago that people using water pistols in Barcelona against tourists? And there's been lots of strikes and demonstrations across Spain and in various different countries about over-tourism. So it's interesting to see now that this little island has taken this measure as well.
Yeah, and but that Paul, you mentioned that was the people who didn't enjoy themselves. They were the visitors.
They were the visitors,
because they found it too crowded.
Yeah, they found it. It was over the top, So it'll be interesting to see, you know, a couple of people, as they do with these things, you know, were interviewed. There was a guy who owns a bakery. He's saying, OK, business has not suffered too much, but it'll take 2 or 3 years until we find out. Mm. The bone companies aren't amazingly happy. they're saying, you know, they're down about 20% on the previous year. But, you know, the mayor is saying, look, these are teething problems. It'll be better for everybody in the long run.
OK, that's very interesting. Of course, when it's an island, it's much more easy to control, because to let people on, I suppose, if it's a city, I don't know how one navigates that. Right. Well, we're kind of staying in France, I suppose. This happened in Paris that would involve South Sudan. Whoops.
Yes, a big whoops. Yeah. This is an Olympics story. So South Sudan, which has been an independent country since 2011, it came after a civil war, a long civil war against Sudan to the north, obviously. But the South Sudan basketball, men's basketball team were lining up to play their first game in the Olympics against Puerto Rico.
Mm.
And your man pressed the wrong tape. So the Sudan national anthem played for about 20 seconds.
Now, Sudan national
anthem. Yeah, exactly. Yes, yeah. So I put a picture up on Twitter. I don't know if you saw it. And there's one up on Instagram as well. Now, you have to look very closely, but you'll see the reaction of the fella third from the end. And he's kind of looking around. The rest of them are all bowing their heads.
Yes.
And he's looking around going, what's going on? Yeah, exactly. So anyway, it was stopped after about 20 seconds. There was a bit of booing and then they played the anthem and they, you know, got a resounding cheer. And they also won the game. So it might have galvanized them. They beat Puerto Rico by 90 points to 79.
Okay. Good on South Sudan. And have the Olympic organizers said, an apology?
Yeah, they apologized straight away, absolutely. Yeah. But it came just after. I don't know if you watched the opening ceremony, but South Korea were introduced as North Korea.
Oh, dear. I'm surprised this kind of thing doesn't happen more often.
Indeed.
So what should we look out for over the next week or so?
Yeah, so the inauguration ceremony for the new Iranian president is actually taking place as we speak. So we'll have somebody else to deal with over the coming months. The Edinburgh Fringe Festival begins on August the 2nd as well. So that's always interesting. Have you ever been to that?
Yeah, many years ago. Yeah, it's fantastic. Now it's jammed.
But it's good though.
It is good. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Yeah. I must go someday. Yeah. Anyway, and then finally on July 31st, which is tomorrow, it's National Orgasm Day, would you believe? Which, according to Wikipedia, is an offshoot, probably an unfortunate term there, of International Female Orgasm Day, which of course happens later.
Okay, that's August the 8th. Interesting, they call it female orgasm, like that's slightly different. Jonathan, thanks a million for coming into us as ever. Jonathan de Burke, Butler there.
Moncrief on News Talk.
DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops a DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.